Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez of Good to Be Social. And today we're going to be talking about why women should build a social media presence and how it can enhance their professional development. Our host today is someone that I've known for many, many years. She is a true leader and has created a fabulous organization. It is my pleasure to introduce Betty Ann Tersey. Betty Ann is the global chair and co-founder of the Women in Law Empowerment Forum, otherwise known as WILIF. Betty Ann is responsible for the strategy and growth of WILIF. And for the last 30 years, Betty Ann has been a voice for women in law firms. She is a sought-after speaker and is frequently quoted as a published author on subjects focusing on women in law issues. Welcome to the show, Betty Ann.
It's my pleasure, Guy.
It is our pleasure to have you here. It is phenomenal, and thank you for agreeing to be on the show. I know it's been a long time coming, but we finally got you.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's great to have you. So, Betty Ann, before we get into the topic, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to be within the legal industry, and then more importantly, tell us a little bit about WILIF. You know, how did you come up with the idea of WILIF? What is WILIF up to? How it's been going? I know you have a big announcement around WILIF, but let's start with how you got started in legal and how you decided to start WILIF.
Well, I was in, and I know we have an audience of some marketing people, so this is a great thrill for me because I started in legal marketing when it was brand new. I was sort of a pioneer along with a few of my colleagues. And, you know, law firms were not particularly thrilled with the idea of having to market themselves, but they came along eventually, and I was the equivalent of a chief marketing officer at several firms. And one of the firms I worked with, I was approached by one of the women partners in connection with a group she belonged to through the ABA, the Women Rainmakers. And it was a year when the ABA was meeting in New York for their annual meeting, and she approached me and asked me if they could do that, the Women Rainmakers could do an event around themselves and around the ABA. And I said, I don't see a problem with that. Thought it was a great idea. And the rest is sort of history, because right after that, the Women Rainmakers invited me to be on their executive committee. And I moved forward with that, enjoyed it very, very much. The party was a big success, I must say. And then I was approached by the then chair of the Commission on Women in the Profession of the ABA to be the first non-lawyer to be on the commission as a liaison to the marketing industry. And I did that, and it was tremendously thought-provoking, and also we got a lot accomplished. And I loved it, and I stayed the course of being involved in women in law projects. And then I was fortunate enough to be asked to start a women's initiative for a Fortune 50 company whose customers and clients were law firms. So I had great familiarity, obviously, with that. And the rest is sort of history. That's how WILIF got started.
That's such a great story. So tell us a little bit about what is the mission behind WILIF? You know, what is it that you try to accomplish?
The mission is generally, first of all, the demographic is 300 or more practicing attorneys. That's the size of the firms that we have involved in WILIF. Mm-hmm. And the mission is really for corporate lawyers, in-house lawyers and outside, to navigate their environments. Most of our emphasis is put on law firms, obviously. How to get women to feel comfortable. They don't teach you this in law school.
Nope.
To feel comfortable within the environment of a law firm. And as these corporate legal departments grow, to feel comfortable in that environment as well. So that's really our mission.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, getting a little bit closer to the topic, I mean, obviously, you know a lot of women lawyers through your work at Willif and your own personal experience. From your perspective, why do you think it's so hard, or why do you think women lawyers hesitate to promote themselves?
Well, I thought about that question a lot. And I think it has something to do with what their mothers told them, which was, keep your head down and do good work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, women have to move past that. You know, a lot of the young lawyers that I meet, the millennials, their parents, their mothers, and their mothers particularly, were in the workplace. But the generation prior to that, they were not. They were stay-at-home moms.
Right.
And they really didn't have those women did not have the familiarity with promotion. I find that the younger people today, the younger women especially, they want to do it. They want to promote themselves, but they're not quite sure how to do it without overdoing it or underdoing it. You know, it works both ways.
It's hard to find the right balance, right? And in your perspective,
that's exactly right.
What is the difference between women and men when it comes to promoting themselves and their practices?
I think the men have a head start. Men promote themselves through friendships, through, you know, there's the old adage about getting out on the golf course and drumming up business and things like that. And women have those opportunities too. But I'm not sure they avail themselves as much of those opportunities. There's an innate shyness, I think, among women to do that, to promote themselves and to say, you know, I'm a great lawyer. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm a great lawyer. Mm-hmm. Men have no problem saying they're a great lawyer or even saying that they're the best at something.
Right.
I think women have, not all women, but a lot of the women that I've run into and that I've counseled have said, you know, what's too much? What's too little? What's, as you said, Guy, what's the right balance?
So talking about men promoting themselves, obviously one of the way that we see a lot of, and to a certain extent, women in law firms promoting their practices is through social media. From your perspective, how can social media specifically work to enhance a woman lawyer's profile?
I think it's an excellent tool. I think it's one of the tools in the toolbox, but it's an important tool. And I think that women need, you know, I was taken, because I'm a different generation than most of the women that I deal with, but I was taken kicking and screaming to LinkedIn. But once I got there, I loved it. And I think that it's an important tool. I think LinkedIn is one of, from my perspective, for professional women, I think it's one of the great tools to be involved in. I'm not so sure about Facebook. I know very little about Facebook as far as a tool. But I think, and Twitter, I'm not on Twitter, so your audience is probably saying, how come she's not on Twitter and Facebook? Well, just not my thing. But here's the thing. I think they're important tools to promote oneself. And I think there's a secret sauce for women, and that is that they can promote themselves both professionally and personally. And by that, I mean women connect differently than men do. And I've seen it happen where women will talk about, first and foremost, about if they have children, they bond about their children. And I also think that they can bond on hobbies and things that they do that they enjoy doing. I mean, we have one example at Willif that I think is terrific. And I never knew about it because I wasn't involved in this specific interaction. But we have a group of women who knit. Now, I don't know how to knit, but a lot of women, apparently, it's very relaxing after a hard day's work to sit down. And at Willif, they got together in New York specifically, and they formed like a little group, a knitting circle, if you will. And I said to myself, you know, that's so terrific because it goes beyond the knitting circle. It's an interaction about family and what you're doing and the work that you do. So I applaud anything to do with social media that works.
So that's interesting that you say women connect differently than men. And I agree, you know, as you mentioned, if they have children or hobbies that they might share. So I guess what you're saying is for women, when they do participate in social media, it's okay to introduce a little bit of their personal life and not always keep it so business specific so that they can make those types of connections. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I have to say something that I think is relevant, and that is that the law firms with their bios, which is a form of communication on their websites, you look at these bios, and for the most part, they're just about those individuals as lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
I've always believed, and I've tried to preach this, and so far I haven't seen it on any law firm website, something personal about the individual. A tab that actually you can click onto and it has a story about the person and what they're interested in beyond their activities in the legal profession. I think that's invaluable. I think, by the way, it's gender neutral. I think it's invaluable for men too. You don't see that a lot in law.
I completely 100% agree with you. And it's not just on the law firm bio. But when you look at lawyers' LinkedIn profile, it's the same thing. All they do, it's almost like they copy and paste their resume. And from my perspective, and I tell this to our clients a lot or when I do presentations to either marketing people or to lawyers, you know, the bio or the LinkedIn profile is really an opportunity to tell the story of you. And the word I use is story because no one wants to read a bunch of bullets. They want to read a story. They want to know what makes you who you are. And what makes you who you are is not just where you went to law school or what clients you've represented or, you know, what type of work you do. What makes you who you are is also, you know, whether or not you have kids and whether or not you're involved in the community or you serve on some non-for-profit boards or you're a wine lover or a travel enthusiast. And it's those little tiny things that I think a lot of times can make the difference when it comes to making a connection, whether it's with someone that can refer you business or even a potential client. So I completely agree with you, Betty Ann. I think that's a huge missed opportunity that a lot of lawyers miss, both on their bios as well as on their LinkedIn profiles.
Well, it's like having the elevator speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you about other than where you went to law school and what your practice is? That may make a connection, but what's going to be the thing that makes it a lasting connection?
Yep.
And I think that's more on the personal side.
I 100% agree. So obviously you've been around for a while in the legal industry and around marketing. And, you know, before social media, there were some traditional promotion methods like, you know, speaking at conferences or, you know, maybe hiring a PR firm to get an article placed in a publication. How do you think, what is the most effective way to combine those traditional promotion or PR methods with social media?
I think you have to be your own PR firm. I mean, I just don't think that, and I know the PR people will hate me for this, and I have many friends, as you well know, in the PR area, but I think you are your own best self-promoter. You know what you're good at. You know what you can bring to the table. And I think that I certainly was around in the days of all the speaking engagements, and you still have to do that, you know. I think for lawyers, the speaking engagements are important. The writing of articles, bylined articles is important.
Mm-hmm.
But even more important, I think today with social media, there is an opportunity, a tremendous opportunity to become, you know, famous Really? Yeah. There are so many stories about people becoming famous. Mm-hmm. And not just for YouTube. I mean, there's a lot of young people that became famous using YouTube. I don't think that's the way to go, but I certainly think that there are up, and I'm not sure YouTube might have a place if you were lecturing, like the TED Talks that people do, and those are featured on YouTube, and there's opportunity every time you look, but you have to be willing to take the risk of doing it. And I think women, in some instances, I've seen they're risk averse, and that is just not a good thing. If they have people like Good to Be Social, and they, if they have a company like Good to Be Social, and they, you know, they utilize a company like yours, you can certainly promote yourself mm-hmm. on social media in a way that's palatable to both you and your audience.
So let me ask you a question outside of social media. I mean, as I mentioned, you've been around for a while. What has, in the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, how have you seen the way that women at law firms have evolved? I mean, I think from my perspective, and you have much more experience than I do, but, you know, we've made some grounds. You know, you see more and more women serving in executive committees or having leadership roles, but probably not as far as it should be. What is your sense? And is that sort of part of what Willif is all about? Is it trying to promote that upward mobility with women in law firms?
Yeah, well, one of the initiatives, which is the most important initiative of Willif, is the gold standard, mm-hmm. which this past Monday was just announced. And what that does is it benchmarks law firms who are progressing mm-hmm. in the areas of equity partnership, being on the governance committee or the governing body of the firm, being on the second most, if not the first, most important committee, the comp committee, and then being in the top half of the most highly compensated. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the criteria that we use to benchmark these law firms. And I think the numbers are getting better. They're not where they should be. Clearly, I'm very, you know, I'd like to see it rise quicker than it has. But, for example, of the 45 firms that made the first round on Monday, mm-hmm. 45 law firms in the United States, 40 of those firms had more than 20% equity women. That's terrific.
That's great.
That's terrific. That's really, really good. The numbers are pretty good, but they need to be better. And when people ask me why the numbers aren't better, I said, well, the women started later, too. I mean, back in the day, there were, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, there were very few women in law firms. So they got started a little later. So you have to expect that there's catch up to do. But we think, and we're hopeful, that the law firms are rising to the occasion, that they will, that they see the benefit of having women in high places within their firms, and that they continue to retain and promote those women.
I think that's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing you're doing. And I think what Willif is doing is great and something that's sorely needed. So the new gold standard, that's recently been published on your website, correct?
On the Willif Tribune, on our e-zine, on our online magazine, has the press release. And by the way, we introduced this year a UK gold standard for firms in the UK, and I was very pleasantly surprised to see 9 firms attain the gold standard. It's different. The criteria is the same, but less criteria have to be met. We wanted to go a little slow for the first year. Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me about the 9 firms in the UK that made it, several are U.S.-based firms with large London offices.
And I also know, because I've seen a few, more and more women are branching out and starting out their own law firms. And there's more and more women-owned law firms. What do you think of that phenomenon? And what do you, what's your sense?
Well, Willif is going to do something, and I'm sort of giving away the store here, but it's an interesting thing. Willif is going to select 10 women-owned law firms mm-hmm. to have at our annual meeting this year, to invite them to come and just observe the way we work at what we do at our annual meeting and see what Wylif is all about. I'm a big fan of women-owned businesses, especially law firms. It's very brave. I think women are very brave to go out and do it. And in a lot of instances, the same reason men go out on their own and start their own firms, they want to practice the kind of law that they want to practice, right? Because the big law firms, while they do a lot of pro bono, public interest law is something that men and women like to do, but often the big law firms won't absorb the cost of doing that. Mm-hmm. So the women and the men too think about it and say, you know what? This is what I really want to do. This is the type of law that I really want to practice. And they go out on their own. And I have to tell you that the women-owned firms that I'm familiar with, and I'm familiar with quite a few, obviously they're smaller than big law, but they're very successful. Yeah. They're very successful. And once they get established, because to begin with, most of these women-owned law firms, the name partners are famous already. A lot of litigators, obviously, do that. But I think it's interesting. To me, it's very, and that's why we're going to do this with Wylif, bring into the fold some of the women-owned law firms. And I know a lot about them. Other people know a lot about them. A lot of the big law firms give business to these women-owned firms. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very interesting. And I don't think it's going to go away. I think you're going to see more and more, but I'm not encouraging women to go out on their own by any means. But for the ones that have it really takes guts to do it, that really want to do what they want to do, I think it's fabulous.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time, although we would love to have you back on the show because it's been such an interesting conversation and I always enjoy speaking with you. But before I let you go, Betty Ann, is there one piece of actionable advice or something that you can leave with our audience? Remember, a lot of our audience, you know, marketing professionals at law firms, a lot of them are women as well. So what would be your advice?
I would say be bold. Certainly the men are bold. And I would say that you have to stand up for what you believe in. And I would also say, and this is gender neutral, make sure that if you're in marketing, you're reporting to the decision makers. I would even say that for women lawyers. I would say make sure you hook your wagon to a star.
Great advice. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And for our audience, thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe to the show there. You can also listen to some of our great past episodes. And to Betty Ann, we're going to put the address for Wylif and the Wylif Tribune on the show notes. We'll also add a link to your LinkedIn profile. Thank you again for being on the show. It's been phenomenal. And to everyone, thanks again. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Guy.